Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's reading from Genesis reminds me of a story that I read as a child. It's not by Dr. Seuss, nor is it a fairy tale by Hans Christian Andersen, but is a book written by Judith Viorst called Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. The story is about a young boy named Alexander who's having a particularly bad day. It begins with Alexander waking up with the gum that he had had in his mouth the night before in his hair. And when he gets out of bed, he trips over his skateboard. He drops his sweater into the sink where the water is running. At breakfast, Alexander's brothers, both of them, get a toy out of their box of cereal. Alexander's cereal box only has cereal in it. At school, Alexander's teacher doesn't like the invisible castle that he drew. And then she criticizes him for singing too loudly and leaving out the number 16 when he was asked to count to 20. After school, when they were at the dentist, Dr. Fields told Alexander that he had a cavity and he would have to come back. Leaving the dentist, the elevator door closed on his foot, and then one of his brothers pushed him in the mud on the way to the car. When Alexander punched his brother for calling him a crybaby, his mom punished him for both being muddy and for hitting his brother. And when they went to the shoe store, they didn't have the shoes that Alexander really liked, so his mom bought the white ones instead. He never wore those shoes. When they got home, they had lima beans for dinner. Alexander hates lima beans, and then there was kissing on TV. Alexander hates kissing. And at bath time, the water was too hot. He got soap in his eyes, and finally his marble went down the drain. And then to top it all off, his mom picked out his railroad train pajamas for him to wear. He hates his railroad train pajamas. At bedtime, his nightlight burns out. He bites his tongue. One of his brothers takes his pillow, and the cat decides to sleep with his other brother instead of him. And that's why Alexander, at the conclusion of the book, says that he just wants to move to Australia. There is no doubt about it. Alexander had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. And so did Joseph in our Old Testament reading this morning. The truth of the matter is, Joseph had a few very bad days, according to the story we read in Genesis, and his bad days began prior to where our reading began this morning, when Joseph's brothers were picking on him. Now, Joseph had 11 brothers. There were 12 sons from their father, Jacob, whose story we read last year, not last Sunday, but we read last year, the story of Jacob. And you might remember, Jacob had a twin brother, Esau, who was the older of the two. And when Esau was born, Jacob tried to hold Esau's heel so that he could be born first. And their father, Isaac, whose father was Abraham, who we did read about last week, Jacob stole Esau's birthright by pretending to be Esau when Isaac's eyesight had failed and he was near death. As a result, Esau got angry with Jacob, and Jacob's mother, Rebekah, who loved Jacob best, sent Jacob off to live with her brother Laban. And when Jacob showed up, he saw the beautiful, beautiful Rachel. And he decided he needed to marry her. He offered to work 7 years to earn her hand in marriage, and his uncle said that was a good plan. And on his wedding night, his uncle sent Leah, who was not quite as attractive, into the wedding tent with him. Jacob worked another 7 years to earn Rachel's hand in marriage, and as a result, when Jacob had those 12 children, his favorite son of the 12 was the firstborn son that he had with Rachel, who was Joseph, who we read about this morning. Now, Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. Joseph interpreted dreams for his father, for which his father gave him a special robe, not a white one like this, but a beautiful robe, but with long sleeves and So beautiful was the robe, they even made a musical about it. And all of this made his brothers jealous. Not so much the musical, I think that came later. But all of this made his brothers so jealous that they just wanted Joseph to go away, so they created a plan where they pretended that he was dead. And they threw Joseph into a pit, and then they took that coat of his and they covered it with blood so they could tell their father that Joseph had been killed by animals. And then they sold Joseph as a slave to some Midianite traders who took Joseph to Egypt, where our reading begins. There in Egypt, Joseph is sold to Potiphar, who is an officer of Pharaoh. Now, I hope you would agree with me that being sold into slavery would constitute a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. But what is most remarkable about this story of Joseph and his terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day is the recurring reference to and evidence of the Lord's presence with Joseph. In verse 1, we read that Potiphar bought Joseph from the Ishmaelites, which is immediately followed in verse 2 with "the Lord was with Joseph." And even as a slave, Joseph became a successful man. So even though he had fallen on some hard times, God was with Joseph. And not just with him, but God helped him to prosper, which resulted in Joseph becoming the overseer of Potiphar's household. Now, most new slaves, when they're acquired, they're put out into the field afar, a long ways away from the valuables inside the house and from the other slaves and from the slave owner's wife, which makes sense. But quickly we read that Joseph found his way, made his way into the house because he was blessing Potiphar. So how could someone who was a slave be blessed and be blessing his owner? Well, because blessing is not simply about our physical station. It's not about our place in the world. It's not about what we've acquired or our title. It is about our relationship with God. Joseph is blessed because God is with him, regardless of his status as a free person or a slave. Now, I think we would all agree that Joseph's life might have been a little bit easier if he'd never been sold into slavery, but that isn't what a relationship with God is all about. Unfortunately, that's just not the way it works. God never promised Joseph. God never promised Noah or Abram or Isaac or Jacob or Esau a life free from suffering. Things were not always easy. We read a couple of weeks ago for Noah in that ark, right? Think about it. 40 days, two of every animal, you and your family, your sons and their wives. 40 days locked in a boat. Things were not always easy for Abram. Even after last week, God promised to bless him and make his name great. However, God was faithful to them, and God journeyed with them through their suffering. "I will be your God, and you will be my people," God said. And God honored the promise that God had made with them. And the same is true with Joseph. God was with Joseph during his suffering as a servant in Potiphar's house. And God was with him when Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of trying to rape her. And God was with Joseph when he was thrown into prison, when his wardrobe malfunction had led to his imprisonment. If you think about it, both Joseph's time in the pit, they used his coat to throw him in the pit, and now a piece of his clothing is used to have him thrown into prison yet again. Two pieces of his clothing let him down. Joseph is falsely accused of a crime that he did not commit, and his master put him into prison in the place where the king's prisoners were held. Coincidence? But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. The Lord was with him, but he didn't just bust him out of prison. He didn't just deliver him. He didn't have the prison doors come open. Instead, the Lord used Joseph, blessed Joseph in prison, in order that he might bless the chief jailer and those who were in prison with him. Later in the story, which we didn't read this morning, the king's cupbearer and baker will be thrown into the prison because, Pharaoh was angry with them and had a little temper tantrum, threw them in. And one night they both had dreams that Joseph interpreted with the help of God, and both of his interpretations turned out to come true. Later, after the cupbearer had returned to the king's good graces, the cupbearer told Pharaoh about Joseph's ability to interpret dreams. This gift from God ultimately led to Joseph's release from prison and his being invited into the king's palace. Much like he had done with Potiphar, Joseph rose from the bottom of the pit, from prison, to become Pharaoh's right-hand man. The Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord blessed him. So the Egyptians were prepared for the 7 years of famine that came after those 7 years of good and plentiful harvest. You know, when the good harvest comes, you want to celebrate and eat it up, right? But because of Joseph's interpreting the dreams, the Egyptians, they prepared for the time that was to come. And they had stored up enough food and grain to carry them through so that while others were suffering, they were getting by. God had certainly used Joseph to be a blessing to many, many, many people. Now, I don't mean to suggest that God made Joseph suffer so that others didn't have to, because I don't think God works that way exactly. But I think God took Joseph's suffering and God redeemed it. God was present and God used Joseph amidst that suffering to do something good for the sake of the people. God promised to be with Joseph and God promises to be with us, even amidst our suffering, or maybe especially amidst our suffering. I promise to join us in our lives during those difficult times. The story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife has some similarities, I think, with a more recent story, a story that affected all of our lives. And it's the story of 9/11, which I think we would all agree was a very terrible, horrible, very bad, no good day. However, there are other stories of things that happened on 9/11 that were, in addition to very angry people taking airplanes and using them as weapons. Robin and I went and saw Come From Away last night, a musical downtown, and I know a number of you have seen it as well. As a result of 9/11, as a result, amidst rather the suffering that was happening in this country and throughout the world, as a result of those heinous, terrible, violent acts, grace was shown, people were blessed. The particulars of the story is in Gander, Newfoundland, up in Canada, eh? At an airport that had been built in the 30s, designed to allow airplanes to land to refuel, that was way bigger than this town of 10,000 people needed today, or even in 2001, still had the 3 runways available. And at the time, 12 airplanes would land a day in Gander. And on 9/11, 38 planes were diverted and landed there and were grounded for 5 days. Some 7,000 people were on airplanes that needed a place to stay, to sleep, food to eat, phones to use to call their relatives and loved ones to check in. The population in Gander nearly doubled within hours. And that small community, amidst the suffering that was happening in the world, and in particular in North America, that small community blessed those airplane people, as they called them. And as a result, they blessed their families as well. Unremarkable people individually, perhaps. But together they did something far greater than I think any of them could have imagined. Amidst a horrible, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, they were a blessing. God was present. It doesn't mean there wasn't suffering that went on during the midst of that time. But we can look back, as we can look back at Joseph's life and see where God was instrumental and where God used Joseph's suffering for good, we can look back and see, even on 9/11, that God used our suffering for good in some amazing ways, and people's lives were changed, and through this musical, people's lives are still being changed just by hearing the story. Being encouraged last night, to leave that space and imagine, what does it look like to be a neighbor? Can you imagine waking up and finding all of a sudden you're having 40 people for dinner and they're staying for 5 days? You don't even know them. You may not even speak the language. But why did they do it? Why did they do it? Clearly, God was at work amidst the people of Gander that day and those days. God was at work through Joseph, even though twice he's thrown into a pit or prison. He's sold into slavery and finds his way up to the right hand of the person who is in charge, whether it be Potiphar or Pharaoh. Joseph was used in miraculous ways to be a blessing for others. We read about Abram last week, and I trust and I pray that God may be trying to use you, use me, use us, amidst the suffering that is happening in this community around us. How might we be instruments of blessing? How might we take the blessings that we have received and become a blessing to others? That's my question and my encouragement for us. For even amidst a no good, a horrible, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, God is present. And God bears those challenges with us and wants to bless us that we might bless others. Amen.